6 and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has signed a measure that will have U.S. tariff rates match what other countries charge.
If they have a tariff and then they complain that this is too high, all they have to do is reduce their tariff or not charge it.
Trump said trading partners are taking advantage of the U.S. Trump's choice to be Education Secretary, Linda McMahon, at her confirmation hearing today, was asked about Trump's plans to shutter the department and Elon Musk's efforts there.
DOGE, there are a couple of implants at the Department of Education, as there are with agencies throughout the district, and they're doing an audit.
There have already been firings at the department. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was sworn in today as health secretary. In Los Angeles, Cara Fenstrom reports the heavy rains are a big problem after the recent wildfires.
The concern is if we start seeing mud flows, it'll be hard for folks to get out and for first responders to get in.
Some evacuations have been ordered. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new appeal motion was filed last week for Stephen Avery. Lisa Hale has the details.
The man at the center of the Netflix series Making a Murderer, Stephen Avery, is appealing the latest denial of a new hearing or trial. The 62-year-old was convicted for the 2005 murder of Teresa Halbach. His most recent appeal argues that there is an alternate suspect in the murder. That appeal was denied last month. Avery's attorney filed an appeal motion Friday with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, saying the case has, quote, special and important reasons for the high court to review it.
We picked up around 3 inches of snow here in Wood County. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot says even more is on the way.
Go figure. Mother Nature is showing her love and bringing heavy snow to the state for Valentine's Day. It'll start tomorrow in the afternoon and ramps up into the evening. Accumulations could reach up to a half of a foot in some areas, and up to a foot is possible through Saturday in some spots. Right now, it's targeting southern parts of the state. So now is the time to gather supplies in case you need to stay home for several days without power. Make sure that you have everything you need for not only yourself, but others as well. See if neighbors need a hand, if they have enough groceries and pet food, and I'd seriously reconsider going out on a date. But if you do, have an emergency kit in your car. Things like kitty litter for traction, a shovel, extra hat and gloves, hand warmers, blanket, flashlight, and battery banks are perfect. And as always, drive slow and don't be in a rush.
The annual ice fishery on Lake Camelot is this Saturday. Fishing begins at 7 a.m. on February 15th and continues until 7 p.m. It's $15 per person and kids under 12 are free, but everyone must register to participate. Registration starts at 6 a.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite missing Giannis and Damian Lillard, the Bucks beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota, 103-101. Doc Rivers pleased with the new players who stepped in, like Kyle Kuzma and Gary Trent, and the performance by Kevin Porter Jr.
His guts, he's calm. Kuz, I thought, had some great plays downhill. Gary Trent, a lot of guys just played well. We moved the ball, you know, the entire game.
I guess what do you like about your effort defense?
Just gutty. Gutty. We did our best of doing it without fouling. Overall, we did that, and that was really good.
Kyle Kuzma, what it's like playing for the Bucks instead of the last place Washington Wizards.
You know, I'm not going to call Washington a bad team because it's not a bad team. They're just in a rebuild, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do there for their future matters.
Baseball, the Brewers signing lefty Tyler Alexander to a one-year, $1 million deal. He had been with the Tampa Bay Rays. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon. Accumulations of 4 to 7 inches by Saturday morning. A high in the low 20s. Winter weather advisories in effect. Right now, we're at 11.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pat Kreidlow.
Friday, Todd Alba returns to the big chair before Pat returns from vacation. And let's get this weekend started together. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, February 13th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maylove, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome our friend Olga. She is the bilingual 4-H associate educator with UW Extension. Looking forward to that. Right now, our great friend, Reverend Beth Habhager, in with us from Grace, Greater Rapids Area Church for Ecumenism. Beth, it is always good to see you and have you in.
It's always good to be here. Thank you for having us.
We should let the audience know, of course, that Beth and I have amazing chemistry and have worked together quite a bit.
We have.
But we got to put our serious hats on this
we
one.
Do.
We do. We have to be, because we are not only that, but we are talking about something fun, too.
Yes.
I do want to let the audience know real quickly, just remind them of what Grace is, Beth, and how the impact it's making in our community.
Grace, the Greater Rapids Area, if my mouth would work this morning, that would be
you.
Great.
Yeah, I've been struggling all morning. I hear you. It's the cold.
The Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism is a group of pastors that gather together representing each of their congregations to do things for the community, including joint worship services. This last Sunday, we did a pulpit exchange where four of us went to a different church. And all of those congregations are in what's called full communion, where we recognize each other's ordination and denomination and can serve in each other's churches. We also do a Thanksgiving service, a Blue Christmas service, but we also want to support our community in other ways. And one of those is we created an event called Walk Off Debt, where we try to raise funds to pay off food service debt for students. Specifically, we try to start with our seniors so that they can walk at graduation and receive their transcripts. And then if there is more than what needs to be to pay those off, we are paying it down to be able to give these students a fresh start to be able to move into a new chapter of their life.
Yeah. It's impacting our futures and the futures of our community and our kids in our community. Mm-hmm. It's a great organization. And as a side note, I joke about, and you and I relationship and everything, but this meant a lot to me when you first started to tell us about this, kind of even before it really got to where we are now with it, coming from my family, growing up in a Christian and Jewish household, I had a first row seat to how much are these faiths are connected, and how much crossover there is and parallel there is, and also growing up and seeing so much unconnection and between these worlds and not understanding it. I think this is not only what we need in this day and age. Is more of this, of what Grace is doing. But I think it's what we've always should have been doing. And just feels, it just speaks to me. It makes my heart sing when we talk with you guys and we talk about this organization.
Thank you. Yeah, the group that is together, and it's open to any church in our community. And we ask that you, if it's possible, the pastor attend. If not, designate somebody to come work with us on this. But we go back to biblically where Jesus said to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those that are sick and ailing. And we recognize that though we may have different ways of worshiping God, it is the same God that we worship. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to pull ourselves together to live out the witness that we believe we should have. One of the questions that I was asked by a member of my congregation about this specific outreach that we do with Walk Off Debt is why would we need that? Why couldn't families pay off their own debt? And I think it ties into what the United Way does with the Alice Report. There are families out there that are trying to get all of their bills paid, but there may not be enough money for everything. And schools are still required to feed the students if they come through the line, whether they can pay it at that moment or not. So some students don't even realize that parents haven't applied for, because of the stigma attached, free or reduced lunches. And there's no stigma to that. That's just an opportunity to find a resource that you could then shift those funds to something else to pay for. But students don't get, they don't know that until they get to high school, how much student debt they have.
Yeah.
And we've helped students that have had over $500 to $600 worth of food service debt be able to walk and hold their head up high for graduation, and then to be able to move on to that next chapter with that clean slate.
I share a lot with the audience because it's a way to connect with the audience and a way to get build the trust between each other. But I've also been honest with the audience that I share some stuff, and there's some things I don't share, you know, here and there, and for a lot of different reasons. But one thing I don't believe I've ever shared on the air is I did graduate in 96, but I was not able to walk with my classmates. I had fines, and I had some things that I was not able to take care of. So I was not able to literally walk on the stage with my classmates.
Right.
Had Grace been around, I might have been able
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's it may not seem like a big deal to some, but if you've been in my shoes, if you've been in those kind of shoes before, you know what it was like. Well, you know all your classmates that you've been spent years and years with, that they're all doing something that you were supposed to, you wanted to do. And in some ways, completely out of your own hands, you're not able to be a part of one of the better traditions we have in school.
Absolutely.
And it means something. It still bothers me to this day. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's something that is a big deal, and is literally one of the kind of like walking points to becoming a complete adult, and being an adult is making that transition and everything.
But right.
The art of that, the act of that, to be able to help kids in that way, along with so many other things, is such a great impact.
Right. And often there are students that are working to try to pay their food service debt because mom and dad are working to pay something else. I mean, even in our own household, when we first moved to Rapids, because we were living on just my salary until Seth got a job with you all, to just make ends meet, we qualified for reduced lunches. And that was a help for us so that we had the money to pay other things that needed to get paid. So there should not be the stigma that so many people associate with that need. It is an opportunity, like I said, to be able to shift funds around so that you can still, your child can still get that meal, but it's at a cost that you can afford.
And I will say real quick, too, and this is not a shot or anything like that at anybody in any community, but if you are a person, a family that would shun somebody or give somebody a hard time for something like this, I question where your ethics are. And where your faith, where all those things can be, because that's the opposite of this. I was one of those kids that got shamed for these things. And thankfully, I came from a family where the food was more important than what you thought of me.
Right.
So I never was bothered by these things, but my brother and sister sure were.
Yeah.
And they, we didn't feel this stuff in Chicago. We felt it when we came here to a small town. And I'm only bringing that up because in a big town, they don't care as much.
Right.
There's too much going on in those things. Otherwise, they might care. That's not a shot. It's just something that we can all as a society do better at. And in part to your point about the Alice report, we know from the stats alone, look to your left, look to your right, there's somebody who is in this category that we're talking about here, if not yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're really hoping that we won't have to do this in the coming years if Governor Evers' plan to create free breakfast and lunch for every student happens. It would be wonderful for us to have to say, okay, what other need is in the community and how can we help meet that need?
And we can also help you guys with those needs and meeting them in some of the events you guys are doing. And you guys have a blast and a real fun time with these events also. And you got one coming up.
This is a brand new thing for us. So this whole all started with trying to do a walk with the hope of moving up into a 5K. And we're still hoping that maybe we can make this into a 5K eventually. But we realized that there are other opportunities. And winter is not the best time to be outdoors walking, if today is any indication.
Good call.
So we thought, what other fun things can we do? And there are a lot of trivia nights out there that the community loves to participate in. And we thought, well, let's do a free trivia night. So there is no cost for you to bring a team and participate in trivia night. We're going to do one at Bee's Tap House on Sunday, February 23rd. So it's the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month. It's going to be in the afternoon. And the way that we're going to raise our money is if you want to give a free will donation and contribute towards this outreach for us, that we would gladly accept that. We're also going to have a silent auction. So we've got different businesses in the community that we are soliciting, and several have already stepped up, and we'll have baskets that you can bid on. And we're really hoping that that's going to be a draw, that people will be able to come and see what they can get. There's a coffee shop in town that we're talking with who is considering donating to that. I think the station is going to be having a basket there as well. There's going to be a Norwex basket there. So all sorts of things. And if you are a business out there that would like to help us by donating a basket towards that silent auction, please, please reach out. Let us know. We'd be glad to receive that.
Marketing and Business 101. You want to be seen by not only as many eyeballs as you can, but by different eyeballs if you can. And you get with this Grace in multiple avenues that you're reaching, multiple people that you're reaching in different areas, and people that you may not reach otherwise and may not have an opportunity to reach otherwise. Along with everybody loves raffles.
Yes.
This area, it just loves raffles.
Well, this isn't a raffle because you have to have a special licensor for that.
Yeah, it's an auction.
Silent auction. That's okay. I want to make sure that we're staying on the legal side. There is a separation of church and state, but the church still has to abide by the state's rules.
That's on me. And leave it to me, of course, to find trying to find a edge on this one. So that's just me and my background. The silent auction, these kind of things, a part of events, people just love them. And it's not only stuff where you're going to get some stuff and, you know, maybe win some stuff and all that, but you are knowing that you're doing some good. Giving people, you're right about the trivia night, too. We talk about this a lot with our friends in Nacusa and in Rome, where they have a lot of trivia nights going on over there. This time of year, these are some of the more popular events, and people just love. And you know, you go down there and you get to live out your Jeopardy fantasies and everything. It's a lot of fun. We do also real quickly. I do want to send a shout out to Two Doors Down Brewing.
Yes,
we talk about them a lot, in part because they host so many of these great events with our nonprofits.
Yeah, we are so grateful to them for opening up their space for us, because they're usually not open on a Sunday afternoon. So they're opening it up. This is going to be happening, I believe, at 2 to 4.
And Beth, when it comes to this thing, it's also a real step above, I think, to offer this for free. We certainly really, really appreciate those goodwill donations. But to offer this for free to the community is also something that shows how in tune Grace is with our community, to the point of hosting this event.
Well, we realize we're living in a society that is more and more individualistic, and we are people that were created to be in relationship. And so to offer safe spaces where people can just come together and share in fellowship and have a good time, we love to be able to do that for people.
When it comes to those goodwill offerings, Beth, if people, you know, especially nowadays, not everybody's got cash on them or anything like that, are there other ways to be able to make those goodwill donations?
Let me know. There are certainly ways that we can have you donate to one of the congregations with that money earmarked towards this, and then that congregation can get those funds to Grace.
And when it comes to our good friends out there, our businesses out there that would maybe like to be a part of this, maybe they want to have something for the silent auction or something along those lines, can they still be a part of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can reach out to me personally. It's wrmcpastor@gmail.com, or go ahead and give me a call at 715-213-2362. That's the church phone. And we'll do what we can to help connect you.
The Walk-Off School Debt is coming up Sunday, February 23rd from 2 to 4 at Two Doors Down Brewing Company over at 140 East Grand Avenue right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're speaking with our great friend, Reverend Beth Habhager, right now from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and of course, representing Grace organization today. Beth, what else you got for us today?
Well, Lent is just around the corner, and Lent is the 40 days leading into Easter Sunday. And each of our congregations have our own evening midweek Lenten services, which is a tradition of the Christian church for many centuries. we were talking and we realized that a lot of our congregants are getting older. And as they get older, they don't like to drive at night as much. Yeah. But they're the ones that really appreciate these rituals that we've had over the years. So this year we decided to get together as a group and we are going to offer a lunch Lenten service. And we are doing that with the help of the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. They are letting us use the Lois Canton Studio Theater. So Wednesdays from March 12th through April 9th, from 12:15 to 12:45, we invite you to bring your lunch with you, and we will have a short service that will allow us to focus on what Lent means for us and the journey that we believe leads to the cross and the empty tomb.
Yeah. Honestly, one of my favorite times of year, and while I don't practice, I think of my Nana during this time of year, and how every year she gave up chocolate for Lent. it was one of those things that just seemed like, okay, now let's give it up chocolate, no big deal. A couple of days in, we knew what a big deal it was. Yeah. We were reminded of it and everything, but it was very important to her to make a true sacrifice, a true movement, like something that really meant a lot to her, she really enjoyed, that was not easy for her to. And I think it's one of the more beautiful traditions in all of faith.
And some Christians, instead of giving something up, they'll take something difficult on during those weeks to remember that Christ took on something for us. What we're doing with this service is we're looking at the cross in a different way. And so the theme of our services for this year are going to be Artisans of the Crucifixion. So each week we'll hear a first-person monologue from a person whose product was used as part of the crucifixion. For instance, the tanner, whose leather was used for the whip, the basket maker, who was used to put the crown of thorns together, the blacksmith that created the nails, the carpenter whose wood was used for the cross, the stonemason. So each week you will hear what that use of their product meant to them and how that impacted how they understood what happened to Jesus that day.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow, that's amazing. As it's my job to come up with follow-up questions and everything, and I got nothing. I've never heard of that. I've never thought about that, let alone heard anything like that. I think that's a really, really cool and interesting a perspective to bring to this.
This is one that it's a book that was put together several years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago, that I've used at different places where I've been pastor. And it every time we've used it has really impacted people. In addition to hearing the monologue, there'll be a poem that we'll read together as part of that.
Will this be something you'll be reading, or will you have other locals reading with you? Or?
All of the clergy are going to be taking turns leading a service. Nice. So each week it will be a different one of us doing that first-person monologue. And it may be more of a reader's theater than it will be having it memorized, so it's not going to be like the plays we have there. But it gives you an opportunity to hear something from a different perspective. Again, this is over the lunch hour. We are not providing the meal, so we invite you to please, you know, if you want to go through a drive-through and bring something with you, or if you bring a sack lunch with you, bring what you would like to eat with you. And as we share that meal, we'll also share in this time of study.
You know, the food is great. We appreciate the certainly the wonderful venue with our friends at WRCT and everything. But the fellowship, it feels like, is what's so key here.
Yes. It's an opportunity for those that really want to be able to remember and honor that season, to also have a chance to be with other people, because a lot of our older generation is very lonely. And so any opportunity that we can provide to be able to get together is a wonderful opportunity.
And we've really, in such a short amount of time together today, Beth, we've been able to really give people already two amazing examples of what grace is about and how grace is paying attention to its community and listening to its community. We're very fortunate in this area. Our nonprofits are talking with our community, not at, but we've all known organizations or nonprofits in the past that this is what they do and this is what they're going to do. And that's great and everything, but you are able to reach and do more good when you listen to your community and pay attention. You saw a need in this community, specific to this community, and being able to walk off student debt and some of these things. Mm-hmm. So you would approach that. When it comes to Lent and this, and knowing our situation as a high senior population, mm-hmm. and the struggles we've had with that, with them not only being able to get out of the house, but having fellowship in that. So changing the time of time under tradition and changing the time of something mm-hmm. like that and everything. That's an organization that cares. That's an organization that is listening. I like to think that that's becoming more common nowadays, but it's still pretty noteworthy. You and I know what it's like when we were right. growing up and how mm-hmm. some nonprofits and some churches, to be fair, would handle themselves and mm-hmm. to each their own, not judging any of that. Just saying, I think we have a better world now. We have a much more welcoming world and we're able to do more good.
And we try to do as much as we can. And if you do know of a need that you think our organization could be able to help with, please let us know. We would love to be in conversation with you about what we can do to help meet that need.
Beth, did you have anything else you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
I think that's all of the events that we've got going on.
So we nailed it.
We did. Yeah. Now, on my own congregation side, I just want to remind everybody that because we have a congregational function happening this Saturday, there will not be the Winter's Farmers Market going on the 15th. But it will be coming back on the 22nd and going through May then. So we appreciate the community's understanding as we celebrate a life of a member of our congregation on Saturday instead.
Yeah, no, I hope that goes well.
Thank you.
I really do. And certainly want to remind everybody out there, whether you are a vendor and you're looking to, you know, get be a part of things over at the Winter's Farmers Market or any of the above, go to wrmoravian.org to find out more information and reach out to them. I want to also remind everybody that Beth's wonderful services are available for you on their webpage. Be sure to go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, subscribe to those. I know my father loves them. I know that I enjoy them and whenever I get a chance to catch up on them and everything, because Beth does a wonderful job with these services, and the time and effort you put into them is so noteworthy, and your passion comes across in every single one of them. But also, she's a great MC. She's a good MC. It's also very entertaining. It's also very enjoyable. Appreciate that, Beth. And just one more time, I want to remind everybody about the Walk Off School Debt event coming up Sunday, February 23rd, 2 to 4 at Two Doors Down Brewing Company at 140 East Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. All proceeds will benefit the Southwood County School Meals Program. Find out more about that. Beth, how can they do that? How can they find out more about that and reach you if they need to one more time?
You can find us on Facebook at the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, and we've got all of that information there. You can reach out to me personally. We also have an email account, centralwisconsingrace@gmail.com.
And if you ever need any of that information again, we do know Beth pretty well. We've got a couple of connections to her. We could always get that information to her if you need to. Just get it to us, everybody. Thanks so much for the time, Beth.
Thank you for letting me be here.
We will have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Whoa.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two things happened simultaneously in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court's consideration of the anti-union law called Act 10. Lisa Hale has the story.
First, Liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz decided against recusing herself. Republican lawmakers made that request because she voiced opinions about the law during her 2023 campaign. At the same time, the entire court declined to hear the case, for now. The court's decision means the case that seeks to restore collective bargaining rights to nurses, teachers, and other public workers will have to go through the lower appeals court first before it's considered by the state Supreme Court.
The annual American Birkebeiner race held in Sawyer County will take place as normal this year thanks to some last-minute snow. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us more.
Race officials say participants will be able to complete the full traditional course after being forced to change it last year. The full course begins in Cable and takes thousands of skiers all the way to downtown Hayward. But with lackluster snow conditions in 2024, it forced organizers to create a loop stuck in the Cable area only. Now, the Berkey staff says they'll continue to monitor the course for any changes that could pose safety risks for racers. But it sure sounds like Berkey fever is on. The race is set to take place on Saturday, February 22nd. And don't forget to bring your cowbells.
Ruby's Pantry is this Saturday, February 15th. It'll be at Pitch Early Learning Center in Wisconsin Rapids from 8 to 9:15 a.m. Cash pay bundles are $25 each, and there's no limit. If you're mailing your absentee ballot, remember that Monday, February 17th is a federal holiday and it may not make it in time. You may want to consider dropping off your ballot in person. The Town of Rome Clerk's Office is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Although it's been nominated for Best Picture and several other awards, there was a point when Timothée Chalamet thought A Complete Unknown would never get made. The Bob Dylan biopic was announced by director James Mangold in 2020, but was shelved due to COVID. It eventually found its way to the big screen 5 years later. Chalamet said that gave him time to learn how to play the guitar and to sing. That might just be what puts him over the top in the race for Best Actor as well. Stand by. In an age where it can take years just for a TV show to get renewed, that is not the case with the show Reacher. The popular streamer returns for season 3 February 20th, barely 1 year from the debut of season 2. Reacher fans appreciate the aggressive shooting schedule, I'm sure. 8 new episodes will drop one at a time, sigh, on Amazon Prime. I saw the trailer for the new season the other night, and somehow they found a man bigger than Alan Ritchson to be his nemesis. Hope it's better than season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon. Accumulations of 4 to 7 inches by Saturday morning. A high in the low 20s. Winter weather advisories in effect. Right now it's 13.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit. And make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, February 13th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our good friend, Olga Menza, bilingual 4-H associate educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Olga, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Really do appreciate you being here, Olga, and certainly appreciate the work that you and Laura and all of our friends at 4-H do. We've talked with Laura a lot about 4-H and the impact it has not only on our futures, but our kids and really our communities. And so many levels. And what we're going to do right now a little bit is get to know you a little bit better and talk about some of the events you've been doing recently and kind of to get into some of that and the work that's been going on. So, Olga, let's begin with you and talk a little bit about you and what you bring to the table here.
Yeah, definitely. So I just completed the 8 sessions at the school, Tools to Thrive. And it went really well. It was my first time. So,
can you tell us what those are?
Yeah.
What those is for the audience that doesn't
definitely.
Know?
Definitely. So it's just bringing resources to the students. Right now, I'm working with the high schoolers in Marshfield, and I mainly work with the Hispanic Latino students. A lot of them are struggling with language barrier. A lot of them just migrated here, so they're also adjusting to the culture and the school system, and so. We go there for 1 hour a week, and then we bring those tools to Thrive, which is like resources to like just help them better adapt to the school system. And also, like if they're already like been here for like a year and a half, like, you know, how do we get them to graduate on time? And also if they have like, you know, hopes or dreams of going to college and how I can, you know, lead them to that pathway as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring all kind of resources. So every session is different. So when I walk into the class the first time, like I get to know the students and, you know, ask them like, you know, what they want to learn about. And also like I did a SMART goals with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I can kind of see like, okay, what are their goals? Like what do they want me to bring, you know, to the school so I can teach them. And a lot of them focus a lot on like in, you know, how to graduate because mm-hmm. the system here is so different than their country. And I'm working with like multiple different Hispanic Latina students who are from different countries. So I'm also learning like, you know, their systems and, you know, actually a lot of them like by the age of 16, 17, they graduate already. So mm-hmm. here's a little different because it's a little longer. And so I have to like, you know, explain to them. The credits, you know, how they work and the classes that they have to take. Also, I had one student who just turned 18. And so he really was like in the point of just dropping out already
mm-hmm.
because work was important for him
mm-hmm.
and his family. So I talked to him and the teachers and I said to him, like, you know, you only have like 2.5 more credits to graduate. Like, why not finish?
Mm-hmm.
So this poor student didn't even know he only needed 2.5 credits. You know, he had no idea. So once I, you know, communicated that with him and told him, like, let me help you, you know, finish or get you caught up where you need to be. And so I had to, like, intervene a little bit. And so now the student is still there and hoping that he will graduate this May with the rest.
Man, is that a good story.
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
I know. So that's, like, one of the things to that we do, motivate students to finish. And
it's also a great example of the importance of this and not only having this in our society and having more of these things in our society, but the importance of 4-H and the work that you guys are doing over
there.
That just even taking this mm-hmm. one story, that individual mm-hmm. goes on to school, graduate, goes on either to college or to the workforce, mm-hmm. and they become a taxpayer and they put into their economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is first off, this is the story of America. This is our country.
Yeah.
This is what we're built on.
Mm-hmm.
We're built on these stories. We're built on these types of individuals,
definitely.
First and foremost. And it's just the right thing to do.
Right.
But if I need to reach you at your wallet, then the economic impact mm-hmm. it makes and the taxpayer impact it makes, those are all important. And and even on another level, and I'll admit to the audience, I'm a little biased on this one. This mm-hmm. is an important topic to me.
Right.
One, because of where our country has been going, not recently, for decades,
mm-hmm.
for decades and decades, the most popular language in America is Spanish.
Yeah.
And yet so many of our individuals in this country either don't understand Spanish
mm-hmm.
or not. There isn't a translation for them if they need it.
Right.
And that's key to this. And I think there is such a relatable level to this. I've talked about it a little bit before, but mm-hmm. where I'm from Chicago. I'm from a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up a lot.
Me too.
Right on. I grew up around a lot of languages. And most of my friends growing up mm-hmm. were Spanish of one different descent, Puerto Rican, Cuban, a lot of these things.
Right.
And each one of them speak a very different type
type of Spanish.
Yeah, different dialect for sure.
And I came from a mixed family where you had Hebrew and Italian thrown around all over the place, some Spanish here and there. I mean, we had all types of different languages. When I moved up to central Wisconsin, where they really only had one essential language and one style of language, I actually, in sixth grade, they put me, or fifth grade actually, no, sixth grade, they put me into a speech class.
Okay.
Because they didn't think that I was understanding the language well enough. I'm 4 hours away.
Yeah.
But they were doing the best they can. That's not on them. They were doing the best they could with the situation, trying to help me because I was
more like a city Chicago accent.
Yeah. And my understanding stuff wasn't there. I was in this. I'm born and raised in this country. I've never left this country.
Yeah.
And even I had struggles with the language.
Yes.
Imagine some of these other individuals. And I don't see why this is a divisive topic, but if it is to you out there, we're talking about kids.
Yeah.
We're talking about teens and kids and everything. And I don't think there's anything divisive about that.
Right.
That those are kids that deserve an opportunity, deserve to be everything that we have, you know, and we couldn't or we didn't have.
Yeah, because they're definitely our future. You know, they're our next generation.
Yep.
So.
I looked this up. I double checked and it turns out the kids are the future, Olga.
Yes.
So I mean, this is the least we can do is doing some of these things. And and some other events that you've been a part of, too. I wanted to touch on some of those. The Tools to Thrive are great, though. I do appreciate you kind of giving us the background on that.
For sure.
You also hosted something else in November recently.
Yeah, so that was like my first event I did, Family Night for the family Latin and Latinos in Marshfield. Because I wanted to connect with the parents and I wanted to reach out and let them know who I am and what I do with their students. And right before I had the event, the students and I did like a celebration for Dia de los Muertos. So they did like an altar, which is called ofrenda. Mm-hmm. And so we studied about that. A lot of them were very familiar, but some that are not from like Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's not a third tradition. So they learned about it. And they really loved it and enjoyed it. And so I wanted the parents to come to the schools and also see like what they've been working on and, you know, what they've done. And so at first it was a little bit of difficulty, you know, reaching out to the parents. You know, they don't really have like access to the Skywar or email. So I had to like think outside the box and, you know, so I had to create a flyer and I did it in both English and Spanish. And so I asked the teacher, the ESL teacher, to help me distribute these to the students so I can get to like their parents.
Nice.
And I also talked to my students in the class and I told them like, hey, I'm working really hard on this event and I really want your parents to participate and also you guys, because I'm going to talk a lot about like the school system, how it works, like Skyward and how to access that. And also, like, if you have any questions, like, you could reach out to me. Even if there's a language barrier, like, you can come to me and then I can also be like, you know, the middle person. So so we at first didn't think we were going to get like a lot of turnout. Even the ESL teacher and the EL teacher said like, oh, we've tried this in the past and probably no more than like 10 people show up. And you know, you're spending a lot of time, and I had to order food and create games and raffle giveaways and stuff like that. And so I didn't notify the students, like, it's going to be really fun. We're going to play games. Yeah. You're going to win prizes, and there's going to be gift cards. And I really appreciate if, you know, if you guys would be able to attend and be there with your families. And literally, like, about 70 to 80 people showed up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so it was very impressive.
Nice. That's not how I thought the story was going to end. That's so great.
Yeah, me too. I was like a little bit like, whoa, okay, this is great. And thankfully, I had prepared for like, you know, food and games and everything. Yeah. So, and I did invite the administrative. So we had like an assistant principal there as well attend. And so most of the talk that we did was in Spanish. But I did let the administrative know that this, you know, he kind of knew like the PowerPoint that we were going over. It was all about school affiliated. And I just wanted some type of administrative to be there so they can know that the parents, you know, are also important. And even if there's a language barrier, you know, they're there and that's who they can come to. And so we'll figure out how to get the communication, you know, to follow after. But he was very impressed as well. And he told me that for the future that he would like to have more administrative attend. So like more of the like the secretary from the school, more like the principal and stuff. So this is really great that he was able to be there and to see, you know, the impact that the parents do have. Because I think there's like a lot of stereotypical that, you know, Hispanic Latino parents really don't, you know, care about the school or are not around or not involved in their, you know, students' education. But it's not that they don't care, it's that they don't get informed right. the right way. And so they don't know.
I don't, we don't subscribe to stereotypes around here mm-hmm. or anything like that, not only as a society, but certainly here at this radio station, yeah. as long as I'm in this chair.
Yeah.
That being said, I mm-hmm. have never met a Latino family of any of the great origins there or
yeah.
anything that isn't in tune with their family
yeah.
and doesn't care about their family. Mm-hmm. I feel very confident saying that.
Yeah.
To Olga's point, it's uh-huh. usually, it's more of so just not understanding. Just
right.
not having an ability to understand.
Right.
Certainly the want and the passion is mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
Just got to be able to meet people halfway.
Yeah,
just
got to
build those bridges. And that's where these mm-hmm. events are so key.
Right.
I'm really happy for the mm-hmm. turnout you had.
Yeah.
But to his point and everything, uh-huh. we'd like to see even better turnout because we know from our communities, and you know better than mm-hmm. I do, Olga,
yes.
how much this is needed.
Yeah, most definitely.
And do you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but do you see more of these types of events in the future, hopefully?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We're going to be planning more of these. And I have done a couple more after this one, not as big. These were more like smaller events that I had gathered together because I had received interest from some parents that wanted to connect and wanted to learn more like on a one-on-one basis. So then I reached out to those parents and I did have like another a small celebration event for Dia de los Rosca, like Three Kings Day.
Yeah.
So, and I felt like, you know, that was a good way to get them back connected and that I also appreciate and, you know, I also want to celebrate their traditions, their culture and appreciate that. So I did another one on the first week of January.
Nice.
And so, yeah, that one was a little smaller. It was maybe like 20 people that showed up, but it was perfect because then I got to speak to the parents one-on-one, get to know them and their children. And also, it was not just like my students' parents because I met parents that were like from elementary school mm-hmm. children and middle school. So that was really nice to connect with them as well because mm-hmm. I'll be working with their kids in the future.
yeah.
And also because they were interested in the 4-H clubs and programs that I was talking about in the prior one. So that's why they wanted to.
Well, these domino effects that can happen with all of this, where mm-hmm. Certainly I think that there is a pull to community and, and an attraction to community. Mm-hmm. We've seen, over the last 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. a rise in a lot of the popularity of Day of the Dead and the Sugar Skulls and some of that stuff. I think that Three Kings Day has become more and more common known to people.
Yes.
So if these events kind of bring people in, that's fantastic.
And then
while they're finding out about 4-H and maybe becoming a part of 4-H.
Yeah.
And certainly that domino effect and the domino too that we're trying to do right here with these events. And I appreciate so much from this because not only do I think we're informing people in some ways about what these events are and what Three Kings Day is or some of that. But I think we're also showing people the path of empathy here. Because again, we're most kids nowadays, in fact, in any generation, mine, yours, any generation, had a lot put on their plate.
Yes.
And this has been the case, you know, going way, way, way back.
Yeah.
Then there are different households and different situations where kids have even more put on their plate. And I don't know that a lot of people can understand, but I think some of our older generations might understand when they had German or Polish immigrants as part of their family. Mm-hmm. And as America was growing and becoming more and more English-based, and they didn't have ways of dissecting this or understanding what this was, or even the reverse of that, where some areas here in Wisconsin were very Polish-centric. To the point where the language was used as that, and even in the newspapers and some of that.
Yeah.
So this has been an issue in our country for a long time, and it's something that we're addressing every day. And these events really help us do that and also helpfully create an empathy of that, of understanding of, look at what's on these kids' plates.
Yeah.
And what we're asking that from them and their parents and the it more times than not, it is the parents explaining something to kids. Here, kids are explaining stuff to their parents so that they can understand and build those bridges. This, all the what you're sharing with us really gives us an idea of that.
Yeah, most definitely. And also what I noticed, like in these events, there's parents meeting each other as well, and they have other friends that they can communicate in their own language.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And even the students, like, so I teach like ninth grade, I mean, yeah, 9 till 12, all in one class, or they're all mixed, like ages and grades. So it's a little difficult.
Wow, yeah.
And they don't really know each other, but I give them the opportunity to, you know, mingle and, communicate, and so they can learn from one another as well. And one big topic that they talked a lot about was like, how do they get a driver's license?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
you know, to get around and go places, because most of, like, you know, their moms don't drive.
Right.
And that's like super something that it's always been like, I don't know if it's just in our tradition, like the women really don't drive. Like my mom doesn't drive.
Yeah.
And so.
Italian households are very similar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My Nana was the same way. Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, just old traditions, you know, and kind of, you know, there's not to say that there is an evolution or growth there. It just takes time and younger generations and that. But that's certainly a common thing and a great example of how important this is to be able to build that bridge.
Definitely.
I teach adults. And I have a difficult time. I can't imagine doing what that class you do. You're impressive. That is impressive. We're speaking with Olga Meza, bilingual 4-H associate with UW Extension. Also wanted to touch on not only with the third event that you hosted. I wanted to get to that, Olga, and tell people about that one.
Yeah, definitely. So
a FAFSA training.
Oh, yes, yes. The most recent one I did, I facilitated a FAFSA workshop. So this was streaming like virtual, and I had a lot of parents that were interested. However, they didn't have access to connecting to like the Zoom or, you know, how to even, you know, get to the training. And it was the only training that's offered in Spanish, like through the entire 6 months that they're doing workshops. So I took advantage and I said, okay, you know what? I can facilitate it. So we went to a church and we used their gym. And so I used a television there and we connected with a FAFSA advisor. And so she was bilingual. So it was really great that parents and students were able to, you know, ask questions, and especially the really daunting questions about like immigration. You know, can they still apply if they're immigrants and if they're in the process of becoming citizens, and, you know, is there a social security needed? And all these questions were really vital to them. And so they were able to get a lot of answers. And so we are still going to work on another second FAFSA connection because it's a little difficult when you have like a different students and parents there. And actually, working with a FAFSA advisor, you need more like laptops and, you know, tablets, something so they can actually fill out the FAFSA form, because now paper form is not a thing.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Wow.
Yeah. So then I was having a hard time when I hosted this last event. I'm like, I need to print out, you know, the FAFSA applications, English and Spanish, and I could not find them anywhere. And so when I connected with the FAFSA advisor, they said because they want you to do it online, and that's the way that it gets processed fastest. And there is a way that you can get it by paper, but you have to send an email to someone in FAFSA.
Which, if you're in that situation, could be all the more difficult.
Yeah. And so I told them, I'm like, okay, we will need to have like another, like a second follow-up session so we can still like provide laptops and or tablets to the students while we have that session going, so they can go in there and then fill it out. And it's a process, actually. It's a big process, but that was a great one that we just completed, and I was happy to be able to help them, you know, learn about FAFSA and not to be scared, because a lot of them think that because of their immigration status they cannot apply. But there's different circumstances for everyone, so some can still get approved.
And what a gift to have that resource there for them, and everything. And really noteworthy too. How I appreciate you explaining how even you, who this is your wheelhouse, this is the stuff you know, and even you had to do some digging and hunting down for this one.
Exactly.
Imagine being I want our audience to imagine for these individuals and their situation and everything, without even the understanding or connections that you have and stuff.
Yeah.
It's And I hope the audience also noticed what I did in this conversation, too. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some great programs and some great things that are coming up and mm-hmm. you can look forward to. And I certainly want you to spread the word about this to individuals you know mm-hmm. really could be helped by OGA and the 4-H here. Yeah. But the above and beyond work you have mm-hmm. done with this topic and with these mm-hmm. events and everything. There is your job, and then there's going above and beyond, and you really yeah. have with this. Mm-hmm. Just thank you for that. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. I say that mm-hmm. as somebody who cares about these kids, cares mm-hmm. about our future, cares about our economy, cares about all the right. things we've touched on in this conversation. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. big work you're doing there, and appreciate that. And you and Laura and everybody over mm-hmm. at 4-H and the way you're impacting our kids and our communities. You're doing such good work that so much of this work is like planting a tree. We're not going to know for years the impact this has truly made, right. but we're going to feel it. We're going to know. And we're going to be thanking you years and years. Mm-hmm. Now, future you is going to be getting a lot of thank you cards, a lot of thank you, a lot of good thanks and good positive thoughts. Olga, appreciate everything we've been able mm-hmm. to touch on today. If people do have follow-up questions, they would like to know more about some of the things mm-hmm. that we've talked about or upcoming events, mm-hmm. how can they reach you?
Yeah, so my contact information, my email is olga.meza@wisc.edu, or my phone number as well, 715-315-9942.
And keep in mind, you can also find out more information by going to 4h.extension.wisc.edu. That's 4h.extension.wisc.edu. Be sure to follow UW Extension on social media as well. It's a great way to share different events on your pages. People might not see it otherwise that would mm-hmm. see it, thanks to you sharing it on your pages. Please say hi to all of our friends at Extension, and thank you so much for the time, Olga.
Thank you.
We will take a time out. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here this week at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has signed a measure that would match the tariff rates other countries charge. The impact on Americans? CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Many believe that broad increases in tariffs could push the inflation rate to closer to 4% from the current 3% level.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was sworn in today as the nation's health secretary.
A healthy person has 1,000 dreams. A sick person only has one. 60% of our population has only one dream, that they get better.
Heavy rains are raising a lot of concerns in California. In areas devastated by the recent wildfires, there are fears of mudslides. In Portland, Oregon, a massive pileup in whiteout conditions involving 100 vehicles.
We do not see roads improving and a possibility of them getting worse.
First responders were going vehicle to vehicle looking for anyone injured. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new appeal motion was filed last week for Stephen Avery. Lisa Hale has the details.
The man at the center of the Netflix series Making a Murderer, Stephen Avery, is appealing the latest denial of a new hearing or trial. The 62-year-old was convicted for the 2005 murder of Teresa Halbach. His most recent appeal argues that there is an alternate suspect in the murder. That appeal was denied last month. Avery's attorney filed an appeal motion Friday with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, saying the case has, quote, special and important reasons for the high court to review it.
We picked up around 3 inches of snow here in Wood County. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot says even more is on the way.
Go figure. Mother Nature is showing her love and bringing heavy snow to the state for Valentine's Day. It'll start tomorrow in the afternoon and ramps up into the evening. Accumulations could reach up to a half of a foot in some areas, and up to a foot is possible through Saturday in some spots. Right now, it's targeting southern parts of the state. So now is the time to gather supplies in case you need to stay home for several days without power. Make sure that you have everything you need for not only yourself, but others as well. See if neighbors need a hand, if they have enough groceries and pet food, and I'd seriously reconsider going out on a date. But if you do, have an emergency kit in your car. Things like kitty litter for traction, a shovel, extra hat and gloves, hand warmers, blanket, flashlight, and battery banks are perfect. And as always, drive slow and don't be in a rush.
The annual ice fishery on Lake Camelot is this Saturday. Fishing begins at 7 a.m. on February 15th and continues until 7 p.m. It's $15 per person and kids under 12 are free, but everyone must register to participate. Registration starts at 6 a.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite missing Giannis and Damian Lillard, the Bucks beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota, 103-101. Doc Rivers pleased with the new players who stepped in, like Kyle Kuzma and Gary Trent, and the performance by Kevin Porter Jr.
His guts, he's calm. Kuz, I thought, had some great plays downhill. Gary Trent, a lot of guys just played well. We moved the ball, you know, the entire game.
I guess what do you like about your effort defense?
Just gutty. Gutty. We did our best of doing it without fouling. Overall, we did that, and that was really good.
Kyle Kuzma, what it's like playing for the Bucks instead of the last place Washington Wizards.
You know, I'm not going to call Washington a bad team because it's not a bad team. They're just in a rebuild, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do there for their future. Matters.
Baseball, the Brewers signing lefty Tyler Alexander to a one-year, $1 million deal. He had been with the Tampa Bay Rays. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.